Chapter 12. Not Just Earth. The second morning after Sar returned, rain found the roof of the House of Returning Names and made the old building honest. It came through in small places first, a bead at the joint above the east stair, a thread down the wall behind the public tablets, a steady drip into the brass basin where families had been leaving name strips since the vanishing. No one repaired those leaks quickly. The old ministry had loved polished stone and concealed weakness. The provisional government had inherited the stone and learned to put basins under the weakness where everyone could see. Sar liked that better than banners. The house had once been a records annex for civic deaths, births, oaths, punishments, and completed names. During the 5-year absence, it became something else by necessity. Too many people vanished without bodies. Too many names stood in the public memory without a completed return. Families came every morning with strips of cloth, metal, paper, bone, and glass, whatever their households used when a name had to be carried from private grief into civic record. The clerks had run out of drawers in the first season. By the second, they had moved into the waterworks beneath the annex. By the third, the old government had fallen, partly from grief, and partly from what grief had made people brave enough to say aloud.
That was why the Provisional Memory Council already had chairs, rules, shoulder cloths, review language, and guards when the restored began appearing before dawn. They had spent 5 years inventing ways to speak about missing people without admitting how many of those missing had been made convenient by the state. Now the missing were walking back through doors. Sar sat beside one of the high windows with a cup of bitter root water warming her left hand and a translation slate cooling her right. The room assigned to her had once stored disputed inheritance records. A long shelf still bore the old label, Claims Requiring Witness. Someone had scraped most of the gold paint away, but the letters remained in shallow cuts, visible when the rain light slanted across them. The door was not locked. Two guards stood beyond it. That distinction mattered greatly to the council and very little to Sar. Her feet were wrapped now in soft indoor cloth. Erin Toss, the councilwoman from the prison yard, had sent them up with breakfast and no apology. The cloth smelled faintly of smoke from whatever storeroom had survived the riots. Sar had worn state sandals to the execution field, had returned barefoot to the broken yard, and now wore someone else's mercy around her feet.
Below the window, the public court filled despite the rain. Families stood under awnings and under nothing. They held name strips over their heads to keep the ink from running. A young man with one arm missing from the elbow was arguing with a clerk at the western table. A woman in a red morning coat carried a child on her hip and a tray of 37 name beads against her chest. At the far gate, three returned, stood together with blankets around their shoulders, while everyone near them pretended not to stare. Returned. Restored. Unfiled. False dead. The terms changed by district. The fear beneath them did not. Sar lifted the slate. The off-world relay had been translated 6 times before it reached the house, first from Earth trade speech into compact administrative, then into the relief mesh used by post-blip registries, then through the council's civic translator, which had been built to handle property disputes and diplomatic apologies rather than grief. Every fourth sentence arrived with a small gray mark beside it, warning that the machine was guessing. The heading read, Last Witnesses, Misclaimed, Community Safety Rules, Do Not Travel Alone.
Below it, a still image showed a human man standing in what appeared to be a school gymnasium. Brown hair, tired face, hands open at his sides in the posture of someone who wanted to look harmless and had practiced. Behind him hung paper signs written in 3 languages and 1 line of symbols the translator could not identify. Elias Crow, the file said. The name had come to Sar 3 times already, once through the child Ovek's impossible writing, once through a packet from a hospital investigator on Earth, once through a public forum that had begun as grief and was becoming doctrine in real time. Now he stood in the rain light on Sar's borrowed slate, naming a wound across distance. Sar did not trust him. The distrust arrived first in the body. Her fragment woke at the sight of him with the same pressure it gave when judges entered a room after deciding the sentence elsewhere, a verdict moving before evidence had finished speaking. She set the slate down and flexed her fingers until the sensation eased. Someone knocked once and entered before she answered.
Aaron Tass carried no slate this morning. The pale council cloth crossed both shoulders now instead of one, formal enough to signal public duty and modest enough to suggest she had chosen restraint. Rain had darkened the hem of her robe. A clerk followed her with a sealed packet tube, then withdrew quickly after placing it on the table. "The kitchen sent breakfast," Aaron said. "I was asked to confirm you accepted it." Saar lifted the cup without drinking. It reached the table. "The physician says your pulse remains irregular." "The physician did not touch me." "She has instruments." "So did the executioners." Aaron received that without blinking. Her face had the same official discipline as yesterday. In the softer light of the house, Saar could see the cost of it. A small tremor moved in the muscle beneath her left eye. Her right sleeve had been mended in two places with thread of the wrong shade. The Provisional Council had inherited authority faster than it had inherited supplies. "Will you review these packets?" Aaron asked. Saar looked at the tube. "That is the first clean question this office has offered me." Aaron placed the tube closer to Saar.
"The seal on it belonged to the Hedron Compact, an emergency braid of governments and relief offices formed after too many older governments died or split during the Vanishing. The Compact coordinated relief lanes, quarantine advisories, refugee registries, and the bureaucratic optimism of people who believed disaster could be made manageable if only the forms learned enough languages. Saar touched the seal, but did not break it. Why would they send this to you?" "They did not," Aaron said. "They sent it to every office that could pretend to have a post-return anomaly desk. We became one yesterday at Third Bell. Saar broke the seal after that, because the answer was ugly enough to be useful." The tremor beneath Ern's eye returned and vanished. "There are cases beyond this planet," she said. "Yes."
"You knew?"
Saar looked through the window again. The woman in the red morning coat had reached the front of the line. Her child was trying to touch the rain as it fell from the awning edge. The woman shifted the tray of name beads higher against her ribs and kissed the child's hair without looking down. "I knew when the child wrote names they had not learned," Saar said. "I knew when my mouth tried to speak a settlement I had never seen. I knew when Earth invented a word and three other worlds began using it before the translation had settled." Aaron was quiet.
"You did not tell us. Yesterday, you were deciding whether I was alive, sacred, criminal, contagious, or useful. We still are." "Then I did not delay the process." This time, Aaron almost smiled. It was a narrow expression, quickly recalled. She sat across from Saar without asking permission. That was new. Yesterday, she had stood over her in the prison yard. Today, she sat at the same table, close enough for Saar to see rainwater caught along her eyelashes. "The Compact proposes temporary movement restrictions for all restored persons with death proximity symptoms," Aaron said. "Quarantine. Temporary movement restrictions. You chose the longer phrase because the shorter one has teeth. The shorter one starts riots." Saar broke the seal on the packet tube. Thin memory sheets slid onto the table in a dry whisper. Each carried a case summary, a translation confidence mark, and a jurisdiction seal. Earth, Ovix Mining World, a moon Saar knew only from labor reports, a monastery station near a collapsed gate, three colonies whose names had been rendered phonetically, and therefore sounded like someone coughing into metal. She spread them with two fingers.
"Case 41A. Restored subject appeared inside a prison transport after 5-year absence. Original execution order had been signed and weapon discharge had begun at moment of disappearance. Subject reports orange shoreline, black water, repeated hearing of verdict language in unknown voices. Case 19C, restored child found at memorial boundary for industrial collapse, speaks names of unregistered dead, political inquiry pending. Case 77F, battlefield medic restored with pressure wound to neck matching injury sustained by non-restored commander, reports eastward compulsion and intrusive last words. Case 12B, dissident archivist restored in interrogation cell on NUR, immediately before recorded lethal dose delivery. Current government denies lethal dose was authorized.
The cases did not call to her equally. The medic's file brushed past like fabric. Pain, fear, borrowed words, but no verdict. The child at the memorial felt like a mouthful of dust and small hands searching for a wall that had already fallen. The prison transport file struck harder, a weapon authorized by a seal, a person made into completion by law. The archivist on Newer made Sar's tongue go numb. She pushed that sheet away before another name climbed into her mouth. Aaron watched the movement. What happened?
Your translator should mark some categories with blood.
Sar. Some are accidents, some are systems. She tapped the prison transport sheet, then the archivist. These two were already being killed by law when the snap took them. The file wants to pretend that distinction is administrative. It is not.
Aaron leaned forward. Can you identify them?
I can feel pressure. That is not the same as proof.
It may be enough to prioritize.
For rescue?
Aaron did not answer quickly enough.
There it was again, utility, entering on quiet feet. Sar gathered the sheets into one stack and squared their edges against the table. Her hands were steady. That seemed unfair to the rest of her.
If your counsel turns me into an instrument, I will become unreliable, she said.
Do not say that where security can hear it. Then do not invite security into the room. Aaron folded her hands. Her knuckles were chapped from cold or too much washing. There are people outside who believe you can return names. There are former security officers who believe you can identify witnesses the old state failed to erase. There are compact observers who believe every person like you should be held until the phenomenon is classified. There are families who believe you are proof their missing dead are not dead. There are ministers who believe the returning means the old rites have failed. There are ministers who believe the returning proves the old rites were right. There are officials below us writing proposals faster than we can burn them. The rain ticked against the basin.
And what do you believe? Sar asked.
Aaron looked at the package sheets between them.
I believe my office was created to keep grief from becoming lawless. I believe grief is already lawless. I believe you are a person in a room where everyone keeps reaching for a different handle.
It was the first honest thing Sar'en heard from her. It was also still an official answer. The door opened without a knock.
The man who entered had the shoulders of old security and the clothes of new government. He wore no visible weapon, which meant he had been told the room was delicate. A scar crossed the bridge of his nose and disappeared beneath one eye. Behind him came a compact observer in a silver rain mantle, face half hidden by a translation veil that pulsed faintly at the throat. Aaron stood. "Marshal Venet," she said. "This interview is closed. Nothing involving an unclassified returned asset is closed." Asset. The word moved through Sar's fragment like a blade being lifted from a table. The compact observer spoke before Aaron could answer. The translation veil chose a soft local accent and failed to make the words gentle. "Temporary containment is recommended until cross-jurisdictional risk is understood." Sar looked at the observer's veil. The device shimmered with each borrowed syllable. "Do you mean all returned? No. All whose dream of water? No. All whose deaths were interrupted? Categories remain under review.
You wish to build the room before naming who must live in it.
Marshal Venet stepped farther inside. The guards at the door did not stop him. Sar noticed which one looked away and which one did not. The young guard from the prison yard was there, uniform still too large, jaw tight enough to ache. The old regime died because it failed to control panic, Venet said. The provisional government will not repeat that mistake. The old regime died because it controlled people until panic became the only honest language left, Sar said. His gaze sharpened. You speak comfortably for someone under review. No, Sar said. I speak after the scheduled hour. Aaron turned toward him. Marshal, leave. The council cannot sequester information. We have reports of restored prisoners, restored witnesses, restored insurgents. Some have knowledge of sealed operations. Some may have abilities related to memory extraction or guilt detection. There is no evidence of abilities, Aaron said. There is a child off-world speaking unregistered dead names. There is a human network gathering cases faster than governments. There is this one. He looked at Sar as if she were evidence in a box. If she can sense condemned persons, we need to know. Sar's cup had gone cold in her hand. She set it down carefully. The small sound of ceramic on stone reached every corner of the room.
You do not want to know who was condemned, she said. You want to know who can be found. Venat's expression did not change. Those may be the same. The young guard at the door shifted his weight. Sar felt him then, faintly. No death claim, no orange water, only an ordinary person standing too near a system that wanted his fear to become obedience. His name was not in her mouth. His shame was. She looked back at Venat. I have already been an example for one state, she said. I will not be an instrument for the next. The compact observer's veil brightened. Refusal increases quarantine recommendation. Sar kept her eyes on the veil. Your machine has made fear sound tidy. Aaron raised one hand, not at Sar, at the others. Enough. The word carried authority because she spent none of it decorating the room. Venat stared at her. For a moment, Sar saw the new government with its skin peeled back. Council, security, relief compact, mourning families, religious courts, off-world monitors, old collaborators with fresh language, all of them standing on the same cracked roof and arguing where to place the basins.
Then Aaron said, This office was created during the vanishing to keep public memory from becoming state property. I will not let the first returned witness be converted into state property under a provisional seal. The marshal's jaw tightened. You are making law without session. So are you. The rain filled the pause. Then it reached for the packet sheets. Aaron put her palm over them. The motion was not dramatic. It was worse than dramatic. It was administrative. One copy for security review, then it said. No. The emergency committee meets at third bell. Then bring a lawful request to the committee. For the first time, anger changed his face. Not much. Enough. The young guard at the door stopped looking at the floor. This room will not stay yours, then it said. It is not mine. That is why you cannot take it by walking in. The rain filled the second pause. At last, Venet turned and left. The compact observer remained a breath longer, veil pulsing as if it had more categories to offer. Then it followed him into the hall. The door closed. Aaron sat down slowly. Sar studied her. That defense will cost you. Yes. Be careful. That sounded like something a person says before becoming a statue.
Aaron rubbed the heel of her hand against her left eye. The official face slipped for the length of a breath, leaving a tired woman in a damp robe with an impossible morning ahead of her.
Do you wish to contact the Earthman? She asked.
Sar looked at the slate again. Elias Crow stood frozen in translation, mouth slightly open, hands still arranged in gentleness. The file had rendered one of his statements below the image. We are misclaimed. No one crosses alone. The phrase had moved quickly because it was easy to carry. That made Sar distrust it more. It crossed borders ahead of context, clean enough for banners.
her own people had killed with words polished exactly that way. Still, the word had found Ovek. It had found Earth hospitals. It had found prison packets and mine memorials and interrogation cells. If governments were building rooms, people inside those rooms needed holes in the wall. "I do not wish to," Sar said. Aaron waited. "I will."
The message office occupied the former Western Counting Room, where clerks had once totaled completed names by district and season. The old abacus wall remained, thousands of ceramic counters strung on metal rods from floor to ceiling. During the vanishing, families began moving counters themselves when the official numbers lagged behind the missing. No one knew which rows were accurate anymore. No one had the courage to reset them. Sar preferred the ruined math. It smelled of wet wool, hot wires, mineral ink, and the sour blue paste used to clean translation keys. Three clerks worked at a long table under a leaking skylight. They looked up when Sar entered with Aaron and looked down again too quickly. One clerk had returned, Sar knew because half the room knew and pretended not to. The clerk's hair had the uncut look of someone who vanished mid-morning and came back into a world where grief had altered the fashion of mourning. A public relay cabinet stood against the far wall. Its casing had been repaired with mismatched panels. Off-world reports entered here in batches when the mesh was stable and in fragments when it was not. Each fragment printed on thin gray ribbon, curled into a tray and waited for translation. The machine clicked as Sar approached. A strip emerged. Earth, last witnesses forum, unsafe travel warning, repeated term misclaimed, requesting case contacts.
Another followed. NHUR, archive, cell return, government denial, family petition blocked. Another. Marek extraction site, child witness held, company security dispute. Ovex thread. The machine did not know it was a child. The machine did not know that child witness held and company security dispute could mean a small body under too many adult hands. Sar touched the edge of that ribbon. Dust pressed behind her teeth. Tap, tap, tap. She removed her hand. "Can the message go without council language?" she asked. The oldest clerk blinked. "You mean uncategorized?"
"I mean mine."
The clerk glanced at Aaron. Aaron's mouth tightened. "Send it as witness correspondence," she said. "No classification prefix."
"The compact watches outgoing anomaly traffic. Then they will have something to read."
Sar sat at the message table. The clerk placed a writing plate in front of her. It was old enough to require pressure. Good. Sar trusted tools that admitted they needed force. She began three times and erased all three. The first version sounded afraid. The second sounded official. The third sounded too much like a person hoping to be welcomed.
Sar rested the stylus across the plate and looked at the abacus wall. One counter on the fifth row hung cracked, unable to slide left or right. It had been trapped between numbers for years and still remained part of the count. She picked up the stylus. "To Elias Crow of Earth. Your word has reached my world through relief channels, public forums, censorship summaries, and bad translation. It arrived before trust. That may not be your fault. My name is Sar Ven. It is provisional, but it is mine until I choose otherwise. I was taken from a political execution. The weapon had been raised. The recorders were running. The state intended to kill my body and finish my name in its own mouth. Dust interrupted the sentence. There are others beyond Earth. Some were in accidents. Some were in hospitals. Some were under verdict.
Some were children inside company death. Some are already being hidden by officials who prefer categories to witnesses. Some are being offered as miracles to families who have been hurt enough to believe dangerous things. If you keep a register, leave room for worlds whose grief does not speak earth language. If you make rules, do not let your rules become offense. If you offer a name, remember that a name can become a handle.
Do not send mystics, soldiers, missionaries, rescuers, or anyone who thinks arrival is the same as help. Reply through the same channel. I will decide what to believe after I see whether you can answer without reaching.
Sar stopped there. The clerk was staring.
Too long?
Sar asked.
No.
Too rude? The clerk's eyes flicked to Aaron and back.
It will translate rudely.
Good. Aaron read the message once. She did not ask to change it. That moved Sar's opinion of her by a very small amount, which was more dangerous than it should have been.
Send it, Aaron said.
The clerk fed the plate into the relay cradle. The machine considered, clicked, rejected one glyph, accepted a substitute, and began printing a copy for the archive. A thin vibration traveled through the floor as the packet entered the mesh. Sar expected relief. Instead, she felt the room widen. The widening arrived without image, as pressure leaving one side of the chest and appearing in another. A distant answering pull, faint but real, aligned for a moment with the rain, the public court, the abacus wall, the packet ribbons, the prison yard, the mining child, the archivist on Noor, the human man in the gym, the crosswalk voice from a city Sar had never seen. Then it passed.
Sar kept both hands flat on the table until she knew which room she occupied. Aaron noticed and did not speak. That, too, moved Sar's opinion. Outside the counting room, a bell sounded below. The morning reading was beginning. Families would gather while clerks spoke the names carried in overnight, some confirmed dead, some restored, some disputed, some still missing, because the universe had returned people without returning order. Sar stood. "Where are you going?" Aaron asked. "Down. The crowd is unstable. So is the roof." Aaron looked up, despite herself. Sar left before anyone could turn the sentence into permission or prohibition. At the stair, the young guard from the prison yard stepped aside. He had a strip of cloth tucked under one cuff, a private name, hidden badly. Sar paused. "Who is it?" she asked. His face changed, fear first, then hope, then shame at having witnessed both. "My sister," he said, "Lihan." "Dead?" "Vanished, returned yesterday. She will not speak. My mother says her name came back wrong." Sar nodded once. "Then do not ask the council what her name is." He swallowed. "Who should we ask?" "Her. When she can answer." She continued down the stairs, one hand on the damp rail.
In the public court, rainwater fell into basins, and families lifted their strips. The clerk at the front began the first name, in a voice trained by 5 years of absence and one morning of return. Sar stepped into the back of the crowd and listened.